Well, we know the congregational staff and so on. Well, that's the congregation staff.
Hey, J.D. Gates and the Blue Bullet.
I've known Brother Doyle for several years. I heard his first sermon he preached in Austin. He had preached to me when I heard him the first time. See, what I told him, he comes up to me in the Bible, put him, I don't know, about 5 or 6 years ago. I told him, I said, when you started preaching, I thought, if you made it, anybody could make it. Brother Jerry, but for you, I wouldn't say that. I appreciate Brother Jerry.
Amen.
He means a lot to me.
Amen.
But he was, to me, he was like me and a lot of others. He struggled when he began. But I think he's in the spine of the hill. He may not be to the top yet, but he may be getting up that close. I don't know. So it's good to have him this evening. He's had the rest of the time of Ocean Missionary Baptist Church. And we want to pray for him this evening.
Amen.
He comes and speaks to us from the Word of the Lord. If a man could preach 100 years, he would still need the help of the Lord.
Amen.
We know Paul is great a man as he was. He said, judge me, pray for me. Greatest preacher this side of Jesus, I think. And certainly he needs our prayers. So be prayerful for him as he comes this evening and brings us to the Lord. Yes, love us.
I want to begin by saying I'm thankful to be here. And I don't use that just as a cliche. I feel that way tonight. I feel privileged to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
And I think we should always look at it that way. I think it is a great privilege that we have tonight to assemble together. God didn't have to let us be here, did he? But I'm thankful tonight to have the privilege to be here. I appreciate the introduction tonight, I suppose. I think it's fitting. And Brother Shoulder said comment about what he told me. He said he thought if I could make it, anybody could. And when I looked at some of my brethren, I know that's true. That God can use anybody. I feel like tonight that I'm among friends. I look out and I see many faces tonight of people that are very dear to my heart. And, you know, good friends, I mean true friends, are a very precious thing, aren't they?
Amen.
I mean, somebody that will, you know, a friend is somebody to love at all times.
Amen.
And true friends are truly a priceless commodity. And, it's good, you know, to have friends, and we have all different types of friends, don't we? And sometimes we have friends that you don't have to guess. You know exactly where you stand with them. And Brother Tim Binion has kind of been a friend like that to me. I never have to guess where I stand with him. He just tells me. And so he called me a couple of days back. And he said, he asked me if I was going to preach a good sermon tonight. And I told him that I really wasn't expecting to do anything good. And he said, well, he said, I don't know if I'm coming if you're going to preach a good. And so I'm figuring that probably this will be Brother Tim's last year. But I want to also, and this has already been said, and I want to join in on behalf of Bethel Missionary Baptist Association. I want to welcome our visitors. And we are truly thankful to have you with us. And I hope that we make you feel welcome. Because I believe that we, speaking for the association, that's our goal, to make you feel welcome with us. And I desire tonight an interest in your prayers. I'm very nervous and have been all day. You know, I think that I've been trying to preach about a little over 22 years now. And I'm beginning to think that that never goes away. I get very nervous, and but I have but one objective tonight, and that is to please and honor God.
Amen.
And to exalt Him, because He certainly is worthy of our praise.
Amen.
And I appreciate the singing that's already taken place and the things that have already been said. And I feel like Brother Bud Thompson tonight. I have thought about this for several days now, and it's been my prayer for several days as the association was drawing very nigh. I begin to think the same thing. I begin to think, I hope we have a very spiritual gathering. I hope we have a very powerful meeting. And so we need to pray to that end, don't we? We need to pray that the power of God would just fall upon this assembly, and He would manifest His presence and His glory among us in a very mighty way.
Amen.
And so let's do honor that request tonight. Pray for spiritual 3 days together. My subject tonight, I want to use this for a title, The Preeminence of Christ. And after I had been chosen by the association last year to speak the introductory sermon, I began to pray, and it was just shortly after the meeting that the Lord placed this thought upon my heart. And Brother Bud also said that he asked that we pray for the preachers, and that the sermons that would be brought would help the association, would help the churches. And you know, the only way that I know that that's going to happen is if we follow the Lord in what He wants to have preached. God knows what we need, doesn't He? I mean, He knows exactly what needs to be said. He knows exactly what needs to be done. And so I want to ask your prayers tonight, and I want to try to follow that which the Lord has burdened my heart with. To introduce the message tonight, I would like to read from the first chapter of Colossians, beginning with verse 9, and read through verse 20 if you want to turn there and read with me. Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And That's reading, as I said, from Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 20 for a scripture text this evening. Again, I ask for your prayers. The word preeminence, as far as I was able to find, only appears three times in Scripture. And it has differing meanings each time. It was used once in the Old Testament in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 19, where Solomon used the word preeminence, meaning superiority, and he spoke and said that when it comes to death, that man has no preeminence over the beast. As the beasts die, so do men die. And so he said, in that way, in the ways concerning death, that man is not superior to the animal kingdom. We all face death. I'm not very good at announcing these Greek words, so I ask you to bear with me. But in the passage where I read here from Colossians, where it talked about the preeminence of Christ, it came from the Greek word proeuo, and it meant to be first in rank or in influence. Mm-hmm. And then it's used about one Diotrephes in 3 John, who it said that he loved to have the preeminence among the church. And the Greek word from which that was taken is similar to the one from, was the other one used in the New Testament, but that was from the Greek word philopteuo, and that meant desiring to be first, or ambitious of distinction. And so the contrast being that Diotrephes wanted preeminence. He was ambitious of that. He wanted to be first. He wanted to have preeminence, but Christ is preeminent.
Amen.
And, another great difference being between the preeminence that Diotrephes was seeking was that his desire of preeminence was brought about by a great self-exaltation.
Mm-hmm.
He saw himself as something much more than what he was. And the preeminence that Christ has was brought about by great humility.
Mm-hmm.
And so the preeminence that Christ has was altogether different than that Diotrephes was seeking. And so I want to us tonight to think about the fact that Christ is the preeminent one. He is first, isn't he? And he ought to be first. He ought to always be first in the life of every one of his children.
Amen.
Now, sometimes we don't put Christ first, do we? But you know what? I believe that's a shame, but you know, no matter what we do, I don't think we'll ever change the fact that Christ is preeminent.
Amen.
He is the preeminent one. He has the preeminence. It has been given unto him by God the Father.
Amen.
And, we have a lot of issues among us as a people, don't we? We have a lot of problems in our churches. We have a lot of things that we would like to see get better, and we have a lot of changes that need to take place. And I believe that one of our greatest helps is we need to get back to exalting the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We need to lift up Jesus.
Amen.
We need to worship Jesus.
Amen.
You know, Jesus is left out of too many of our decisions. He's left out of too many of our services. He's left out of too many of our lives. Christ is preeminent, and he deserves first place and will not accept anything less.
Amen.
You believe that tonight? I
Amen.
Think you do.
Right.
Christ will not accept anything but being first in our lives.
Right.
And I want to tell you, from the things that I see and the things that I hear right now, for the most part, I don't believe that he has it. I believe we have so many things that we have put before praise the Lord.
Amen.
I don't know how much that we may accomplish this year in our meeting. I hope that, you know, through the reports and different things and the discussions and things that we do, I hope that we will accomplish things that will be to the good of the churches. But I don't know what all may be accomplished, but I do know this, that if we'll lift up the Lord Jesus, if we'll praise Him, if we'll glorify Him, if we'll exalt Him, our 3 days together will be well spent, no matter what takes place.
Amen.
And I also say that if we don't do that, then whatever else we attempt is going to be in vain.
Amen.
I want us to think about some things that were said here in this letter. In verse 14, it said, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Christ. I want you to keep this in mind. Christ is preeminent.
Mm-hmm.
Christ is superior. Christ is above all, isn't He?
Amen.
And He is the, in whom He is the one in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You know, through all of the Scripture, and particularly the Old Testament, from the sacrifice that Abel brought down to the 1,000 burnt offerings that Solomon offered up on the brazen altar, and all of the sacrifices that the Levitical high priest, all the blood that was taken in there into the Holy of Holies, into the tabernacle there during the days of the in the Mosaic economy, all the blood that was shed of all the bulls and the goats could never take away our sins.
Amen.
It could never, the Bible said, it could never make the comers thereunto perfect. There was a continual remembrance of their sins. And we find in the New Testament that Paul said, I believe, in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, he said, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the high priest would offer up the blood of the animals, it was only typifying the perfect sacrifice that was to come.
Amen.
And it was something that had to take place over and over. But the Bible says that Christ entered once.
Amen.
Into the holy place, and He obtained eternal redemption for us.
Amen.
Christ is the true high priest.
Amen.
He is the true ark of safety.
Amen.
He is the true bread from heaven, isn't it?
Amen.
We find in the 6th chapter of John that Jesus told them about the manna that they ate in the wilderness. And He said, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and they are dead. And you and I today, the natural food that we consume in our lifetime may sustain our bodies for a period, but we're still going to be dead, aren't we?
Amen.
And so God sent them manna from heaven, and they ate it, and they were dead. But Jesus said, I am the bread of life.
Amen.
He is the true bread. He is the bread which came down from heaven, the bread of life. And He said, if any man eats this bread, he shall live forever.
Amen.
He is the true well of water.
Amen.
He told the Samaritan woman there at the well, He said, you drink of this water and you're going to thirst again. You know, I've never had a drink of natural water yet that quenched my thirst forever, have you? I have to go back and get another drink and another drink. And He said, whoever drinks of the water in this well is going to thirst again. But He said, you know, you can ask Me and I'll give you a drink of living water and you'll never thirst again, because there will be within you, after you take that drink of living water, there will be within you a well of water springing up into everlasting life.
Amen.
through his blood.
Amen.
And no other.
Amen.
The blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. But when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, when he was baptizing there at the Jordan and he saw Jesus coming, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which not prolongs, but which taketh away the sins of the world." The Bible said here that he is the image of the invisible God. In the first part of this, in a verse that I did not read, it also said that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, or in bodily form. Jesus, one time speaking with his disciples, Philip said, "Show us the Father, and it will suffice us." And he said, "Philip, have I been so long time with you, and you don't understand this? He that has seen me has seen the Father."
Amen.
I believe Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Jesus and his Father are one. One what? They are one God.
Amen.
They are two persons, but they are one God.
That's right.
So he said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." In him, in Jesus, dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead in a bodily form.
Amen.
"For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible." In the Gospel of John, we find these words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." And John went on and he said, "The Word was made flesh."
Amen.
"And dwelt among us."
Amen.
"And we beheld his glory." "The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is the preeminent one. He brought us grace, and he brought us truth, and he brought us truth that he said would be able to set us free.
Amen.
There's one more thing I want to say in these scriptures before I move on. It was said here that he is the head of the church. And you know what? He still is.
Amen.
Right.
I told the church at Fellowship a while back, I said, we may go through transitions. We may go through changes. And our churches do suffer, various things. You know, we go through a lot of trials and tribulations, and sometimes there are things that bring us down. But I want you to know one thing that has not changed. Jesus Christ is still the head of the church. And friends, if we will forget about some of these other things that we try and just look to the Lord Jesus, I mean, really trust in him, look to the head, look to the one that's able to do all things. Look with the horizon to the hill from whence cometh our help, because our help comes from the Lord. If we'll do that, we'll make some progress.
Amen.
Amen. We'll really look to the Lord Jesus. You see, so many times today, the Lord's churches are trying to figure everything out without the head.
Amen.
Leaving the Lord out of it. But he is the head of the church.
Amen.
I want us to think about some things that happened in the life of the Lord Jesus that are just, well, there are things you can say about him that just can't be said about anybody else.
Amen.
You know, his conception was so miraculous.
Amen.
When the Lord spoke to Mary there and told her that she was going to conceive, and she said, "Well, Lord, how? You know, I know not a man." And he told her that the Holy Ghost would overshadow her, and she would conceive, and that in
would be the Son of God.
Amen.
And his conception was so astounding and so miraculous that when she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who also at that time was with child, that as soon as she heard of these things, as soon as she heard of the salutation of Mary, as soon as she heard what had taken place, the baby in her womb leaped for joy.
Amen.
From the hearing of what the mother heard. The forerunner of Christ, John the Baptist, still in the womb when he heard of the coming of the Messiah, leaped for joy inside the womb of his mother.
Amen.
Now, that didn't happen to anybody when I was conceived. It didn't when you did either, but it did with Christ because he's preeminent.
Right.
He is preeminent. His birth was so miraculous and so astounding that when it took place, the mighty angels of God couldn't hold back, could they? Bible says that there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto them, and they were afraid. And he said, "Fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And the Bible says that suddenly there with the angel, there was a multitude of the heavenly host. And they were praising God, and they were saying, "Peace on earth and goodwill toward men." Now, that didn't happen at my birth.
Amen.
Didn't happen at yours either, did it? But it did at the birth of Jesus.
Amen.
He
Amen.
Is preeminent.
Amen.
Amen. His infancy was so great. Did you know that Jesus was touching lives? I mean, boy, I tell you what, I think I have a hard time doing it now.
Yeah.
Jesus was touching lives
mm-hmm.
in his infancy.
Right.
There was an old man, I love this story.
Mm-hmm.
There was an old man by the name of Simeon.
Yeah.
You see, Isaiah, the old prophet Isaiah, had prophesied, and he had said, "Behold, the Lord himself shall give you a sign, a virgin shall conceive. And shall bring forth the Son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And we know from Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, that the interpretation of Emmanuel is God with us.
Amen.
That's right.
That's Jesus, isn't it? God
Amen.
With us.
Amen.
Isaiah had also prophesied, and he said, "Unto us a child is given, unto us a son is born, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace."
Amen.
I'll tell you what, I don't know if there's anybody here tonight that's lost, but if there is, God offers peace to your soul.
Amen.
But if you want peace, you're going to have to get it from the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
You're going to have to obtain it from Jesus. What did Paul say in his writing to the Romans? "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." How? Through our Lord, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so, here was Simeon. The Bible says he was a just man, and he was a devout man. He was waiting for the fulfillment of the prophecy, wasn't he? He was waiting for the Deliverer. He was waiting for the Messiah that for hundreds of years had been prophesied to come. He was there in Jerusalem. The Bible says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And God did this man a very special favor.
Right.
It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you what, I hope we all get a good picture of this tonight. Here was Simeon waiting for the Messiah. God comes along, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he would not see death.
until he had seen the Lord's Christ.
Amen.
And at the age of 8 days old, when it was time for his circumcision, at the age of 8 days old, here come Mary and Joseph, and they brought him there to the temple, and I said that he was touching lives in his infancy, and I want to prove to you here that he was, because they brought that baby to the temple, and here Simeon, he took that baby up in his arms, and it was, you know, it gave him so much contentment and so much joy that he said, "Lord, now let us thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation."
Amen.
Now, I'll tell you what. I love to hold little babies. I mean, I love to just pick them up and hold them in my arms. But here was Simeon holding the Messiah.
Amen.
Can you imagine? He held this baby, and when he saw him, he said, "Lord, I don't have to wait anymore. I'm content. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to die. Seeing this child has made me so content that just let me depart now in peace, for my eyes have seen what I've been waiting for."
Amen.
And here in just a little while, soul hours.
Amen.
Isn't that a good thought?
Amen.
Jesus, at the age of 12, sat in the temple and just astonished the Jewish doctors with his understanding. At the age of 12 years old, I'll tell you what, if you want an example for anything in your Christian life, if you want an example, if you want somebody to follow, if you want a mentor, let it be Jesus above everybody else in the world.
Amen.
I spent the day today in prayer, you know, just pleading with God to help me tonight as I stood before you. And when I found myself asking Him, I said, "Lord, tonight when I stand, please don't let their eyes be upon me. Don't let it be me that they see. Let it be the Lord Jesus that they see tonight, because He is the one, friends, that's worthy."
Amen.
Bible said in the book of Luke concerning his birth, I heard Brother Tim preach a message using this as a title one time, "He shall be great." Bless your heart, he is, isn't he?
Amen.
Amen. Christ is preeminent, because God made him that way.
Right.
If we look in the Philippian letter, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, he emptied himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I'm trying to tell you tonight, Christ is preeminent. I'm trying to tell you, friends, Jesus Christ is Lord. If you can walk on the water, if you can speak to the wind, and it will lay down at your feet, if you can calm the waves of the sea by just the very words from your lips, if you can feed multitudes with a couple of fish and a little bit of bread, you know, if you can heal multitudes call you Lord.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ did all those things, didn't he?
Amen.
He is Lord.
Amen.
God exalted him.
Amen.
You know what the Bible teaches me? The Bible teaches me if you want to be exalted, be abased. If you want to be exalted by God, don't exalt yourself, because he will never exalt you in that way. Now, he's never going to exalt any of us to the place that he did Jesus, but if you want to be exalted by God, you'll have to humble yourself before him, and that's exactly what the Lord Jesus did.
Amen.
He emptied himself.
Amen.
He humbled himself before God. He became obedient.
Mm-hmm.
We talk sometimes, you know, the Christian life can be a life of sacrifice. There's always been sacrifices, you know, that people have made in order to live that type of life. There are things that people have seen in their lives, you know, that may have been leading them astray, and they were willing to give it up, you know, in order to maintain their spirituality and their walk with God. But let me tell you something, of all the sacrifices that's ever been made by any child of God, nobody has ever given up the things that Jesus gave up in order to serve and honor their Heavenly Father.
Right.
He was with God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God.
That's right.
And the Word was God.
Amen.
And in order for us to be saved, he laid aside all the comforts of heaven. He laid them down. He took up on him the form of the flesh. He came into this world and he suffered greatly. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church and he said he was rich, but though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that he through his poverty might be made rich. Jesus laid it down and came down and walked in this sinful land in order for you and I to have what we have today.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, it's a shame and it's a disgrace, and it should never even be mentioned among his people. But it's a shame when God's children don't honor him.
Amen.
I mean, considering everything that he's done. And there's so much of it that goes on in our lives, isn't there? You know, my greatest fear in the ministry, my greatest fear when I came here tonight to try to deliver this message, and my greatest fear in the ministry is not that I'll let any of you down, it's that I'll let Jesus down.
Amen.
You know, I want to serve and honor him and give my life to him, because he is the one.
Amen.
That's preeminent. He is the one that's worthy.
Amen.
Folks, he's worthy.
Amen.
We wouldn't be saved without Jesus, would we?
Amen.
I hear so many times, you know, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I hear so many times, you know, so-and-so preached the sermon when I got saved, or so-and-so did this, or so-and-so did that. But let me tell you something, without Jesus, none of us would have any hope. Without him, we would not have any salvation. Without his shed blood,
amen.
We'd be eternally lost.
Amen.
If you're going to praise anybody, you praise him.
Amen.
Amen.
You praise him.
Yeah.
And you honor him. Well, you know, the grave. I thought about this in my studies. The grave would be a horrible place without him, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It would have been a cold, dark dungeon that would have eternally claimed our bodies without the Lord. But you see, it's not, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus paid it a visit. And when he got finished with it, when he did his work on it, when he was finished with it, now for those of us as children of God, the grave is nothing more than a piece We will come forward.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus died on the cross. He was placed in the tomb. And on scheduled time,
Amen.
He got up.
Amen.
And I want to tell you something. When he came up, he had the keys with him.
Amen.
He said in the, it says in the first chapter of Revelation, he said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I've got the keys of death and hell. When he came up from the grave, folks, he had victory with him.
Amen.
And we'll have victory through him.
Amen.
Through him. After his death, after his resurrection, and he had told them, you can find it in the 10th chapter of John, he said, I've got the power. Do you? No, Jesus did, didn't he? Why? He's preeminent.
Amen.
He's superior. He's first in rank. He's first in influence. He's first in power. And he said, I have the power. The power to do what? He said, I have the power to lay it down. And he said, I have the power to take it up. And he did.
Amen.
And after he resurrected, he stood. Well, the Bible says he proved himself alive by many infallible proofs.
Amen.
You know what? In my lifetime, the Lord Jesus has proved himself over and over and over and over.
Amen.
You've been saying, you know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
He has proved himself even since that time. In my daily life, he has proved himself alive in my heart by many infallible proofs. I know today that Jesus lives. I know today that he dwells in my heart. I know today that he rules and that he reigns. I know today that he's still the head of the church. I know today that through his blood, I have redemption. And I know today that he's coming for me one of these days. And I know today that I'm going to walk before him in a land that he has prepared.
Amen.
For
Amen.
His people. Jesus has proven himself to me in my lifetime. Folks, I have no doubt. And if you do today, it's coming from the devil, not from Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
I have no doubt. Here in just a little while, I'll be like Simeon. I'll see him.
Amen.
You know, there's nothing, there's no thought that I have, there's no imagination that I have, there's nothing that ever crosses my mind, there's no anticipation of anything that I have that supersedes my anticipation of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I'll tell you what, sometimes I just can't wait.
Amen.
To look upon him.
Amen.
To see him.
Amen.
John said, we've touched him.
Yeah.
We handled him.
Mm-hmm.
The word of life.
Yeah.
You and I haven't done it yet, have we?
No.
But I want to embrace him. I want to hug him.
Amen.
I want to see him. I want to touch him.
Amen.
I want to be in his very presence.
Amen.
And for all of us that are saved before long, we will be.
Amen. That's right.
These things that we preach about, these things that we read about and think about here before too long, they'll come a blessed reality because friends will stand in his very presence.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
He stood with his disciples. You know, sometimes, I don't know if you ever watch anything, the news or something, where they're showing New York and some of the big cities. Sometimes people can't even hail a taxi cab, can they, to get a ride. But Jesus stood with his disciples after his resurrection, and a cloud came down as a vehicle for him and received him out of their sight. And as he went to heaven, can't you just hear it? Now, I don't know if you have the same interpretation of this as I do or not, but as he ascended up to heaven, can't you just hear him? Lift up your head, ye gates, and be ye lift up the everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle.
Amen.
Open up the gates, Father. I'm coming in. I've done the work. And I'm headed home. And they were assured. They were assured that the same Jesus, not a different one, the same Jesus that was taken away would come again in like manner.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I want to finish the song. He's coming back. He's coming back for us. The Bible says the Lord himself shall ascend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. And the longer I try to preach about him,
the more real he becomes.
Amen.
And the more I long to behold his precious face.
Mm-hmm.
To get to thank him in person. You know, there's nothing quite like that, is there? You can sit down and you can send a letter to somebody or something like that, acknowledging something. There's nothing quite like person-to-person contact.
Amen. Amen.
So thank him in person.
Yeah.
One day will be our joy. That will be our full thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you believe the words of the song? Just one glimpse of him in glory and will the toil of life.
Amen.
Just one look at the Lord Jesus. All the trials, the temptations, and the suffering of life will be repaid by just one glimpse.
Amen.
Christ is preeminent.
Amen.
We often use the scripture, and I'll say this in closing. We often use the scripture from Philippians about every knee bowing to him and every tongue confessing. We often use that in reference to after glorifying and say that one day every knee will bow and one day every tongue will confess. But that ought to be done here.
Amen.
And that's not what, you know, Paul didn't say that every tongue will one day confess. He said God had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at his name, every knee should bow. When? Right then. At the mention of his name. When we speak his name, we ought to take it up on our lips with great respect and great admiration and bow before him at the very mention of the lovely name of Jesus.
Amen.
I love you people. I really do. But not like I love him.
Amen.
I love my family. And I love being able to have the privilege of spending time with them. But I don't love them like I do Jesus. What a day that'll be. What a day. Brother Martin. Thank you for your attention.
Told you what I told you, I'd leave you. Not to get up there. That's what it's all about. Lord Jesus Christ. I am Alpha. I am Omega. I am the beginning. And I am the end. I'm everything.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Without Jesus, I've lost it all.
That's
right.
No other name given on heaven whereby man might be saved, but that of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's the one to save my soul. If you've been saved, you take it yourself.
Right.
I'm glad that we've got a Jesus and that we can worship him today.
Amen.
I often think about the time that Brother Jerry was talking about when Jesus was received up into that cloud. Could you imagine those disciples that were standing there? I can imagine what they were thinking. That goes out safely. He's going to glory. He's there today, the Father doesn't have to light him the Father. Make an intercession for you and I.
Amen.
Endorse the good message.
Amen.
I'm just debating. Kind of got a crowd, but I believe that if we'll kind of stay in order, that we can get out and give Brother Jerry shake hands with him and give him God's feet. Tell him we enjoyed the good message. Let's start with this side here. We'll take the amen corner. We'll have this side to come out. Now we shake hands with him, but down this aisle. And they get through without the amen coming over here. And they get through coming out of here. And now this side of here, come out and down that side and down the aisle and back in. And I believe if we do that, that we can get to a song and get back to our seats and we're good in order. Brother Jerry, would you stand out here? Let us have a song. What do you think? Congregation, stand, please.
8:1